Next time you go to a restaurant, do yourself a favor the next day. Not immediately, because it'll ruin your night. But look at the food component of the bill and then see what your drinks cost you. Odds are you will be appalled. And the last time he was here, Michael Fridgen and I, were talking about some great South African wines. And he very kindly, then immediately after the show, gave me a lift to a meeting at a restaurant in Illovo where I picked up the wine list. And I sent him a screenshot of the prices being charged for admittedly wonderful wines. But I thought to myself, these guys are taking the polite word is Mickey, I think. And in your latest column, Michael Fridgen, I see that you are taking on iniquitous wine list prices. Tell me why, what has fueled your outrage?
And I mentioned a wine list of a newly opened restaurant in Stellenbosch where the new style of wine list kind of construction is visible to all. You mention behavioral economics. People walk into a restaurant. Firstly, they want the wines they're familiar with. Secondly, if they're not familiar with them, assume you're in a Greek taverna in Athens, you will definitely not go for the most expensive, and you will certainly never choose the least expensive. And so you have to kind of make your way through the wine list. And what licensed establishments are doing with this, they are making the wines you might recognize very expensive and offering you alternatives that you're unlikely to know much about, but which in fact carry equally high margins. In this particular case, there are 300 to 400% markup. And my point is twofold. One is that there's very little that goes into wine service. The stuff gets delivered weekly by the distributors. Somebody pulls out a cork and they pour you a glass of wine. A huge amount of effort goes into the kitchen, and the wine is subsidizing the food.
The wrong way of doing it. I mean, to my understanding, it's always the way in which it's worked. It doesn't mean it's right, but it's kind of, there seems to be an economic model which people accept in that sort of, in that situation.
Well, we've become accustomed to it, and I had a lot of kind of flack back for that article this week. Not necessarily, in fact, not at all from restaurateurs, but from people who say you're implying that they are profiteering and that it's a very tough game to be in, which I'm sure it is, and that actually they're doing the best they can. And my point is that if they charged the right price for the food, they wouldn't be addicted to the wine list as a way of making up the shortfall.
But yeah. If they charged the right price for the food, I don't know if we would go, Michael, because we'd say, oof, that place is outrageous. Have you seen the prices on the food?
That's exactly what someone said to me today. But here's the problem. Drink drive, especially, say, in the Western Cape, is now being strenuously enforced, as it should be. And more people are drinking less and less when they go out. So what does the restaurant do? It either cranks up the margin so that the one bottle of wine you order instead of the two gives them the revenue they need, or they are going to have to face the difficult truth that they've avoided for years, which is people need to pay for the food. They cannot expect wine drinkers to subsidize their nights out.
I'm getting where your rage is coming from, Michael. You're tired of support of paying for other people's food. And I think that's a reasonable position to take. Now, listen, Michael, help me here, please, because in honor of Daniel Kahneman and in terms of our behavioral psychology, how do we navigate a wine list? You do name this Stellenbosch restaurant. You don't name the restaurant, but you say there's a Rupert and Rothschild Classique on that restaurant wine list at 798 Rand. If you go to a bottle store, you pay less than 200. Seriously, Old Dirt from Villafonte, 800 bucks, less than 200 in the shops. And then you're faced with the choice of paying quite a lot of money for wines you've never heard of. Cottabos Grenache Syrah, 550. Looks like a bargain relative to the others, but you don't know what's in the bottle. And that's the problem, isn't it?
That is the problem. Incidentally, somebody sent me a message today saying that I think it's the Grill House is charging 400 Rand for Rupert and Rothschild and 500 Rand for Seriously Old Dirt. They seem to be making a living out of it. So either they're charging a better margin on the food, either it's easier to run a steakhouse because you can predict pretty much what you're going to be selling. But either way, it's not necessary always to do this. So my anger isn't necessarily a personal anger. I don't eat out that much. It's about the idea that it's a flawed model, and sooner or later it's going to bite the guy's back. The sooner they start to make it realistic, the sooner it will be a better balanced environment in which to dine.
Very quickly, how do I navigate the wine list? Do I go to the middle? Do I go to second from the bottom, which is a very popular strategy? But I was reading the other day that the danger of going to second from the bottom or third from the bottom is those who structure wine lists know that cheapskates of the world go there. And generally, the margins on those cheaper bottles can ironically be greater than the margins on the more expensive bottles. And actually, they make greater profits out of the cheaper bottles than they do out of the more expensive ones. Is that something you've noticed?
It's absolutely true. You are quite correct. And increasingly, once again, in the Western Cape, where there are many foreign visitors, restaurants priced to what would seem reasonable to somebody shopping with dollars, pounds, or euros. So, yes, the answer is firstly, choose the variety that you like. Don't be so adventurous that you're going to order a Grenache if you've no idea what a Grenache looks like. Secondly, in this day and age of readily available information, go straight onto your smartphone, look at the names of the wines on offer. Mostly there will be somebody who rates them, talks about them, and tells you what the retail price will be. And on that basis, you can make a semi-informed decision.
The trouble with this is, Michael, and again, those that structure the wine lists know that we succumb to peer pressure. You don't want to be going to your guests because you've invited people out for dinner, because you're a generous kind of guy. And you don't want to be sitting there going, just hold on a second, this wine list is outrageous. Let me just double check a thing or two. Hey, Hassan, come here. You just quietly pick up what offends you least, I suppose. And that's the pitfall and why, up until now at least, it's worked.
Exactly why the Rupert and Rothschild in this particular restaurant is at 798 and the Sergio Dirt is on offer for 800. Exactly. Mm. In the old days, it was Bellingham Grand Cru.
Things have improved, you see. Maybe outrageous, but things certainly have improved. Thank you, Michael Fridgen, international wine expert at Wine Wizard this evening. How to navigate your weekend wine list.